Hey everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Welcome everyone to episode 42. This is going to be a slight different episode for you all. If you listened to our last episode, we finished Final Fantasy IX, and we kind of gave a little hint to this about kind of we're going to be like grading the game, so to speak. And Alex and I, we've kind of been hashing out what categories we want to kind of decide on these because, you know, this is the first one we're doing it for, and we plan on using this whole grading system and categories for the other Final Fantasies we talk about. So we are going to kind of do this unscripted, free flow. So it might not be as polished as our other episodes, and we also aren't going to have a short segment in it. Let's just hop straight into it, man. Our first category is the story. The storyline, obviously, beginning to end. And what we'll probably do is we'll just give it our grade and then we'll talk about it for a little bit and then I guess we'll just move on. So what do you think, man? What did you think of the story grade-wise?
Oh, man. Story, I would give it an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. What about you? I gave it an 8 out of 10 as well.
Great minds think alike, man.
Yes, yes. And I don't know, man. I thought it was fantastic. I will admit that I enjoyed the first half of the story just infinitely more than the last half. And
really?
I think a lot of the Final Fantasies, and we're not going to go into them, but they start to just kind of really get off the rails at the end of the game, don't they? I mean, even just like last episode we talked about Necron, it's like, dude, what is this? Like, where'd this guy even come from? Why are we fighting him all of a sudden? You know, it's kind of, it's almost a letdown. It's like Kuja's supposed to be the main guy. It's like if you had Final Fantasy VII and you fought Sephiroth and you killed him and then you got like Jojimba coming down like, yo, what up, dude? Actually, he sucks. I'm even better. And you're like, okay, all right. Well, he was the antagonist the whole entire story.
You know, and that's kind of funny that you bring that up because honestly, especially around Final Fantasy IX, that's like a really common, you know, conversation topic towards the end of the game. A lot of people just, they either really hated the concept of, you know, Necron becoming kind of like the main behind the scenes bad guy, you know, and a lot of people just in general, like were trying to make sense of it because like what you said, I kind of agree with you with that. What I think, you know, at the end of the game, it starts getting really complicated. You know, you've got the assimilation concept of Gaia and Terra, you've got Garland and all of the things that he said, you've still got Kuji, you've got the Crystal of Life, etc., etc. So yeah, I feel you. I think I kind of like the fact that the antagonists change over time, you know, like in the beginning it's Queen Braun and Alexandria, then Kuja, then kind of Garland enters the picture, but yeah, Necron was like very, very end of the game, kind of out of the blue.
Yeah, dude, he's way out of midfield, just like, oh, hey, what's up, guys? I'm joining in. And it's not that I dislike the story of that. I mean, that's actually, to defend my first half, I like the first half just because, I don't know, it's kind of like the humble beginnings, you know? It's really fun, like kind of start. Now, we've talked about this many times. We really enjoy the Final Fantasies where you start out as a nothing. You know, you're a common thief, and what do we do in the end? Well, we saved in existence as it's known, you know, like, and we literally were just a thief in the dark with the flame in the very beginning, and so I kind of like that, you know, and also, of course, the beginning of the game is just, it's all very medieval feeling, you know, and it's kind of fun, and it has so much jokes and stuff in it, and all these things, and towards the end, it gets really sober, and I mean, I understand that, and that's not really kind of a negative thing, but I definitely did prefer the kind of more witty, you know, lighthearted Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah, they tried to sprinkle in a little bit of humor with like the Kena scene in the Moria and the Beatrix part. That was definitely them trying to, you know, where she's like, "You, the short one," and he's like, "I'm blah blah blah." She's like, "I don't care who you are." So
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I get what you're saying, and I kind of agree. I like the beginning a lot, but I also like the end a lot. Like, I like Terra and Bran Bell and all that kind of stuff. I think where the game gets a little bit slow for me is kind of in the middle, like when you go to the Outer Continent and Fossil Rue and all that kind of stuff.
Wait, you don't like going back Ifitree and Medain Sari back and forth, back and forth, back and forth?
Yeah, exactly. All of that kind of stuff. Like, the scenery's cool, and we'll talk about that in a little bit.
All right, well, that's kind of story. So, well, we both had 8 out of 10 on that one, starting out pretty good. Next one we'll go to is, let's talk about the characters, right? So this is more specifically like kind of just models, you know, and were they interesting, maybe personalities, you know, that kind of thing. So for me, for the characters in Final Fantasy IX, I am going to give it a 9 out of 10. I really, really liked all the characters in this game.
Yeah, that's, man, it's a tough one to rate. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
So I really did like the characters as well. But yeah, there were a couple of things. I guess like a couple of my gripes. And this is pretty common in Final Fantasy games, but sort of happens a little bit with this one, where as far as the characters and everything, at least as far as their development, they kind of have like their little character arc where they have their scene and their moment and everything. And then they just sort of like, they're sort of out of the picture. You know what I mean?
Well, that's like actually Freya, quite a good point, because and you just said Freya, you know, she's the grand one, you know, she had her moment in Bromesia, which was way at the beginning of the game, and then she kind of just was just around, you know, like, it's kind of like turning like, what are you doing here, by the way?
Because you know what I mean, like, she'll be there and she'll say like supporting things and all this kind of stuff, and she'll be like, you know, we got to get Kuja, and that makes sense. As far as like the antagonist, you know, and her wanting to get revenge and things like that. But at the same time, it's like, you have all that happen. And then basically there's no conversation of Fratley or anything like that. There's no, you know, it just sort of
left in the wayside.
Is not relevant. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess my kind of main complaint would be with Kina, and that's obviously just in battle rather. And we will kind of get into more of kind of that particular things, but she just, we've talked about through it, she just kind of sucks. She, you know, some of the blue magics are fantastic, they are, but at the same time it's kind of like, well, you know, some other characters have much better abilities though, you know, and so it's kind of I don't know. And then of course her just, you know, her attack being so volatile with damage, that wasn't so much fun. But on the other side, of course, obviously she's incredibly entertaining, you know, her and Aiko. I will say that now it's kind of hard to compare this Final Fantasy to like say 10 or 12 or 10-2 or anything because, you know, voice acting, it would have been maybe a little different if it was in text, but in that sense and keeping it kind of separate, I think Final Fantasy IX is the most entertaining Final Fantasy for me, man. It's just hysterical the whole time. It's just so much little funny things. And of course in the beginning, tons of it. And most of it's from the characters, you know, most of it's character banter and interactions with each other. You know, think of beginning Steiner calling Zidane a scoundrel every turn, you know, and stuff. It's just, it's really hilarious, entertaining things.
Exactly. And you mentioned Steiner too. And I mean, there seems to be like sort of a central core of characters that have more of like a prominent role in the story.
Yeah.
You know, where Steiner's kind of one of them, where his development and his change in demeanor and attitude towards Zidane and stuff is pretty much like this progression throughout the whole game. I mean, it gets less towards the end, but
of course.
And kind of same thing with like, obviously, Dagger. She's one of the main ones where like her development, I mean, I was thinking about that, where this game just did such a great job of like foreshadowing with that initial scene. And then you're still getting information on that in Memoria. So it's like the very first thing you see foreshadows pretty much the whole game.
Yeah. Well, and that's the development, I think, too, in this game with the characters, and mostly all of them is fantastic, you know? I mean, seriously, look at each of them and their personalities and their quirks and how they end up in the end, and most of them have changed quite a bit, you know, and have much different outlooks and just kind of are much more mature in a lot of things, and of course, you know, it just kind of goes together, so... All right, so we're going to go to visuals. Visuals are our next kind of category. Obviously, that's pretty self-explanatory. And this kind of just encompasses everything. So overall for the visuals, man, what are you thinking?
Well, and the other thing with this is, too, you know, obviously we're thinking we're going to be rating this within its time, right?
Like, yes.
I mean, obviously, it's a 1999 game. So with that being said, I think the visuals in this game are amazing. I give it a 9 out of 10.
Nice. I also give it a 9 out of 10. We're starting off with some pretty strong categories here.
Yeah.
Yes, because exactly that, the disclaimer. It's like, no, we are not going to compare it to Final Fantasy XV's graphics. Okay, no, not going to happen.
Be a little bit cheap, you know.
It would. And even the remastered, you know, like just thinking about that and how they really spruce things up. But just, it goes much more than obviously the graphics. And of course, if you're kind of like me, and you didn't play some of these games growing up, it might be harder to get back into it because of the graphics. But if you go at it with the mind of, gosh, man, this is really, really old.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the cinematics, they look fantastic still, even now. You know, it's just really, really well designed.
I mean, yeah, for its time, those FMVs and everything aren't even all that bad today.
No, exactly.
Like, I mean, yeah, it looks cartoony and stuff, but it was obviously supposed to look cartoony and fantasy and stuff like that, but still, I mean, as far as the environments, I love the variation. I mean, you've got all of the kind of dark forest places, like Evil Forest. You've got the mist in the beginning, Ice Cavern, Condi Pate. You've got like dry areas, snowy areas.
Yeah, you got kind of just nice, sunny, happy areas, kind of like Dali, you know. Well, besides its dark secret, but no, you know, you've got the kind of yeah, you get the nice bright colors, you got the nice gloomy areas, you know, you got the ones that are just like downright weird, but awesome, like the Crystal World, you know, and Memoria is so interesting, and you got things like the theater ships, and, you know, it's such a wide variety of just visuals. I mean, it really is, and the world map, I think, is pretty well done as well, you know. I mean, again, for its time and for a world map, I think it's fantastic. I think they, absolute fantastic job. And then, of course, you have Cinna. That's the crowning jewel right there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one of the things I was kind of thinking with this game, too, you know, just the weird NPCs, like, well, Cinna, technically, like, you play with them a little bit, but, you know, you've got other NPCs. You've got, like, the Nero family. That whole thing's super weird. You've got just, like, the hippo people, the fish people. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Like the
lot of variety.
Yeah, like the species, I guess, that they come up with in this game.
Well, and then, of course, you got Terra, which is just, you know, we talked about that a lot when we were there. Just crazy cool looking place, you know, and that's how it is. Like, I think they did a really good job with the visuals, portraying them in the way that they were supposed to be in the game, such as Alien or Foreign or Medieval or Dark and Gloomy or whatever. They really captured it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I mean, some more honorable mentions here, I would just throw in like all of the Q's marshes. Those are really cool. Bermesia with the rain and everything. That was awesome. And then just the myriad of like cave environments you had in here. You had Fossil Rue, Gargan Rue, Mount Gulag, and then even the Desert Palace. That was a really cool place. True. So,
yeah, real cool stuff. All right, man. Here we go. We got to kind of dive into the enemies a little bit. We're gonna have two different categories for the enemies just because it'd be really too hard to give it one grade overall. So the first one we're going to focus on is enemy difficulty. And for this one, honestly, I kind of struggled with this one for a little bit because it's pretty hard to be subjective about it because it really depends on how you played it. You know, I mean, it really does. And so I kind of looked at it on how I started and played most of it. And then, you know, once especially Chocobo Hot Cold came up, and also, you know, using some of my past experiences. And so, with that said, I decided to give it a 7.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head with some of that stuff, though, because it, you know, I'm going to be rating this as if, you know, minimal grinding, things like that. Because obviously in Final Fantasy, we all know, if you grind excessively, then everything's easy. So we're, you know, kind of rating this as fairly as possible, but I would also give it a 7. And all right. I swear I'm not just copying you on that. It's just, honestly, we're kind of thinking similar on this too, I think, because just in general, this game has some areas, like definitely towards the end, things get a lot trickier. But through the first half of the game, you don't even have to level up. Like, the enemies are just really, really easy.
They are. And it has its moments, and it has, you know, it has some of the enemies that you gotta kind of just watch out for. But Yeah, overall, it's like you don't really have a threat of a game over for quite a while, especially just on, you know, regular old enemies. It does pick up because, I mean, we actually had very similar playthroughs on this podcast series. You know, we both were pretty darn low level and we both just had kind of the usual stuff until Chocobo Hunt Cold kicked in and then I went crazy with it. And so up to that point, it did start to get a little, you know, a little challenging here and there, especially being kind of lower level. But, you know, I guess the reason why I had to really start knocking the few points there was, I don't know, I felt they just kind of gave you stuff way too easily in this, or way too soon, rather, I think is really what it is. Maybe not too easily, because Chocobo Hunt Cold was, doing all those grind is not easy, but way too soon. And then at that point, it just made everything easy mode, you know what I mean? And that's how it was for me. Of course, I got it all, so I equipped it all, and why not? I mean, yeah. That's first time having most of that stuff when ever gotten to that early. And it was just, it was like, this is just kind of way too easy. I mean, I could see how these enemies could be difficult because we were talking about them, you know, but I'm like, but I'm not having issues with them because I'm just almost one-shotting everything.
You're right on that for sure. I mean, you know, 7 out of 10, like I would say, especially the way I was playing it, we were both pretty low level. It definitely, the enemies were hitting pretty hard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not easy if you're not leveling that much, but the thing about it is once you like know the abilities that they use and everything like that, and you just equip the right status immunities and all that kind of stuff and have a good party, it's really not that hard of a game. I mean, like Evie, Steiner, you know, either dagger or Ico, some healer, and I mean that's pretty much like game over, to be honest. So if you want a real challenge in this game, I think we were kind of talking about this throughout the series as well, that, you know, have a sort of an unbalanced party. Like I thought Freya, Amaranth, Kena, and Zidane was a pretty challenging party to have.
Yes. Yes, and don't overlevel and get those crazy items. So, and then the other enemy kind of category for this is, I mean, it's Final Fantasy. You got to have an enemy variety. I'll let you, what did you select for this? I'm going to let you hit that one first before I chime in a whole lot.
Enemy variety, I give this game, it's kind of tricky. I'd say a 5 out of 10, honestly. This is kind of one of those areas I think the game fell a little bit flat.
Dude, this is why we started a podcast. You know why? What I gave it? I gave it a 5 out of 10 as well. Because we're on the same page on a lot of things, yes.
Oh, man, yeah.
And I mean, I think we're going to probably say the similar things, is that, you know, overall, if you just look at all the enemies, it's going to seem like a lot until you start playing the game. And it's like, dude, yeah, you know, I'm in the hour cut. Why am I still fighting, you know, XYZ trolls or, you know, whatever? It's like, gosh, man, they're just, you know, it just keeps coming up again. And they just, it's not a whole lot. Now, here's the even thing. I would have been fine if they even just reskinned some of them. You know, like Final Fantasy X comes to mind. Like, just change them up a little bit or something. Mm-hmm. And they did with a couple of them. But overall, I don't know. It wasn't that large of a variety of enemies, in my opinion.
No, exactly. And it kind of said it there where they didn't, you know, they had so many enemy models, but they probably didn't think to just reskin them. I mean, some of them they kind of did, but not really. Yeah. But yeah, like I kind of, exactly, like world map, I think was the biggest issue for me where, for example, if you're on the Mist Continent going from Limblem to Bernicia, you know, you have like sets of, you have different things in the forest and you have different things in the plains, and then it kind of varies a little bit, but not enough. And same thing with the Outer Continent. It's like literally once you get out there, you pretty much only encounter the Griffin, the Zagnol, you know, Goblin Mage, like just over and over and over again. So, yeah, but one thing I will say is within location, I think it had decent enemy variety, like, you know, the Desert Palace comes to mind, Memoria, places like that.
Yes, and I think that was kind of the good balance for it was, while it didn't have a fantastic variety, it at least did have plenty of unique things to unique areas. And so, that did help. Made it at least seem like, but yeah, it was the world map. But you would get into that and you'd fight something different, you get world back, and oh, we're just out here fighting the same things again. And so it's kind of lame in that regard. But
yeah, and one other thing I'll add to this, just while we're on enemy variety, and we'll talk about this a little bit more with the end game, but for example, the Yanks, right? Like, when it came to thinking about some of the toughest enemies in the game, there's nothing other than Yan. It's like, why didn't they put in something like 2, 3, 4 different enemies? And I hate to compare again, like, to Final Fantasy X, but, you know, Omega Dungeon comes to mind, where they had, like, tons of new enemies in there. So that's just another area I think that kind of... I kind of sucked, because other than Memoria, that was, those were the toughest enemies in the game.
Yeah, so. That was it. Well, and kind of going on foe, or continuing on with foes, so to speak. Next category we're going to talk about is just bosses. And this kind of goes, I mean, we could talk about the visual. I'm not going to count that into it, though, because, you know, we kind of already covered that with the visual. So just bosses in general, you know, like difficulty, what did we think about them? You know, how did they fit in? That sort of thing. So for me, in the bosses, honestly, I thought they did a fantastic job. There were tons of them, as we well know, that's for sure. And so I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10 on that.
Nice. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. I think they did a really good job on the bosses and everything. Just got a couple of gripes. The first one is them steal rates, man. Come
on.
Oh,
yes. Okay.
Gotta get on that. That is ridiculous, right? Like, I mean, I can understand. Yeah, because it's just insanity levels. I mean, it's like, why even put the item there if you're going to make it so low? I mean, I can understand, like, a rare item. Okay, fine. But 0.39%?
Well, not only that, but most of the time, it wasn't even that amazing of an item to be worth it. You know, it's like, if you wanted to put something fantastic in there, sure, but... No.
Make it like the Excalibur 2 or something. Come on.
Yeah, seriously.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I hear you on that one for sure. And it was kind of hard to really think about all of it because, of course, again, there's just so many. And so that went, and I like that there were tons of bosses, which is great. We love bosses. Some of them were kind of just totally filler ones, as we know, you know, just they were just there to give you something to fight. But overall, I thought they're usually pretty darn difficult. There was rarely a boss that we were like, oh, this is just easy, especially if you weren't, if you didn't know what to prepare for, you know, beforehand.
Exactly.
And then just also, you know, some of them really had key moments for, you know, character development things and stuff like that. You think of the shrine bosses, you know, and certain like that. And so some of them were really kind of helpful in that and provided a really good challenge for the characters, so to speak, you know, in the story and stuff. So I thought they did a great job. Black Waltzes also, you know, come to mind for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a couple of bosses that I really, really love in this game. I mean, the whole, you know, how you fight Beatrix 3 times and then you eventually get her on your side. That was really, really cool. I love the way they did that. Fighting Zorn and Thorn was fun. And then how, you know, later on you had to fight Melty Gemini or whatever.
The reoccurring.
All of that kind of stuff. Yeah, and Kuja and Garland. And yeah, I think towards the end too, the bosses... Just because they use so many of those attacks that had, like, levels of randomness to them.
Of course.
Started to become really difficult. Like, Nova Dragon, man, I'm telling you. I got a game over on that guy. Just saying.
All that stuff. Yes, and that is also why I scored mine. Because, I mean, the abilities, man. The abilities are just insane in this. You know, like, for damage... equations and how they do it, you know, mine kind of in that sense. I was thinking of Death Guys and starting with Meteor, and I'm like, what a way to start a battle. Well, it might wipe you all the way out, or it might not. Yeah, it's up to you, pal. Go ahead, good luck. It's like, what is that? What that? That's not fair. You know, it's so
it's cheap.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool in that because it does offer a different challenge possibly each time. You know, and so on that note. Sometimes it sucks because it can wipe you out really easily. And then on the other hand, it's kind of like, it didn't really do much. Or, I knew it was coming, so I put on, you know, Bright Eyes, and now, it was pretty much easy. And so, again, on that, you know, it's up to you kind of a little bit. But, really good stuff. All right, man. Well, here we go. Here's a big boy for us, big boy category. Side content. So... we kind of have a couple different ones. Side content, we mean what I guess we're kind of talking about this is just kind of the little things here and there. Little things you can do. Some of them might be big, but not particularly that open up only at the end game. We got that coming as a separate category. So if you're thinking end game stuff, nope. We're talking things just as you go through the game, and that kind of just you can go and do pretty much almost whenever you want. So, you know, things like Chocobo Hot and Cold. I mean, of course, that's a massive one, but you can do it almost instantly. You know, Jump Rope. You can do all kinds of stuff, right? So side content, I gave it a 7.
I think I'm also going to give it a 7, just to be fair, because, you know, as much as I personally hate Tetramaster card game, it's there. So it is a side quest type of thing.
Yes, but on that note, in which why, you know, I didn't... Here's the thing. 9 has tons of stuff. It does, and it has lots of little things. I mean, you can even think about little Sid's frog, little key thing, you know? That was this little side game. It was part of the story, and you had to do it, but it was kind of like a little mini game, so to speak. And you know, you even got the Mog and Koopo Nut stuff. But I don't know. I gave it a 7, a little lower. I mean, that's still pretty good overall. But, you know, I had Chocobo Hot and Cold. And so that was my main thing. I was like, okay, well, they do have some big ones. And then they have a lot of little ones. But it was, you know, I don't know. It was good. I mean, again, 7 out of 10, that's pretty good.
Yeah, Chocobo Hot and Cold is honestly why I'm giving it a 7 out of 10. Yeah. That's what's bumping it up, because as far as mini games in a Final Fantasy series, even though this one does get monotonous like a lot of them do, it's one of my favorite. It's a lot of fun. Like,
it is.
You know, it's just an enjoyable game, and I think...
Because it also goes beyond just the digging. It's the whole treasure aspect of it. That was really cool, you know, and really different, especially... When we were kids before the internet, we didn't know where these places are. You actually did have to go and look for them, and that was kind of a really cool thing.
Well, there was that too, but I think also what made this so great was they gave you really, really good stuff, which when you're playing it's sort of encouraging. You're like, okay, that's sick. You know, I'm actually getting equipment that I can't even buy, or sometimes just completely, you know, you can't buy at all. But so that kind of stuff. But then, as far as the smaller things, I think there were a lot of other cool things as well. Like Auction House was a lot of fun. They did have the jump rope and the hippopal racing thing, which I'll be honest, I did not find those that enjoyable. But they're there.
It's there, and you know, it's fun for the first few times through them, and then it's like, I'm good.
It's just... too much button mashing. Like the concept, like you said, is fun, I think, but the mechanics behind it, I can't deal with that.
Here we go, we just talked about it. The end game content, so we're going to kind of wrap 2 into 1 end game content in like areas, you know, and obviously if you've been playing Final Fantasies, you get to the end, you know, last disc, airship and all that, you know, there are specific areas that only open up then. What did you choose for it, man?
Even though I love Final Fantasy IX so much, I had to give it a 5 out of 10 on this one.
You were a little bit more generous than I was. Even I gave it a 3, man. I gave it a 3.
You're serious? All right.
There's like nothing there. I mean, seriously, we talked about, like, you know, let's remove all of the side content that we could have played up to. You know, after the Invincible. And now what's available? Not much. You know, I mean, seriously, not much. And here's the other thing is you could even have gotten to the island with the Yan before this. So technically, yes, that's like a quote-unquote endgame thing, but it's only endgame because the enemies. You could have gotten there in Disc 3. So it's not really even a, like, secret opened up area now at the very end of the game.
I feel you. I mean, the only places that, like, come to mind, I mean, yeah, you kind of mentioned Sovile Island, which, honestly, it's just... there's nothing there anyways. Yeah, exactly. It's just like sort of a desert island. The scenery's not that cool. There's no, like, place that you can actually enter from the world map or anything. And then you've got Chocobo's Paradise, which, I mean, I did love Chocobo's Paradise because it looked really cool and you could just kind of, like, mess around. There wasn't anything, you know, to do there. But there was that. You've got Chocobo Garden. You've got Magnet Central. And yeah, I mean, you know, compared to a lot of one, especially a lot of other Final Fantasies like 6, 5, heck, 7, 8,
10, 12.
Yeah, there's 13, yeah, pretty much all of them.
15, Yeah, it's like, but seriously, like all of them at least have... They at least have like an endgame dungeon, like an area you actually go into. You can only get there at the very end of the game. That's the only time it opens up. And some of them are really cool. Think of Final Fantasy VIII's Research Lab. You just mentioned Final Fantasy's Omegas. And here's the thing, you know, when I thought about this, I tried not to be like, oh, well, they did it better. I tried not to think about that. I just kind of looked at the content and be like, well, it truly is lacking. I mean, not even Doguerio. Like, you can get there way earlier than the end game. So it's kind of just like, I don't know. There wasn't really anything that was very specific to, you made it to the end, pal. Here, now you can go try to kick its butt or go in there for the first time ever.
Yeah, and when you consider also the fact that, like, Chocobo Garden, you can't even explore on foot.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? There's not really anywhere to go there anyways and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I was a little bit generous with that. But I went with 5 out of 6.
That's good.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah. We got a few left. I was going to go to this next one. We're going to leave that one for the last because it's going to be the best one. All right, man. Battle system. We got to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
For the battle system, we're talking about the whole thing. So, you know, ATB, how'd that work? Party size. I mean, kind of unique with 4 party members, that kind of stuff. I had some massive issues with it, though. Complaints, rather, I should say. So I came down with the hard hammer again. I'm giving it a 4.
Really?
Yes.
Man. Yeah, no, I mean, I liked it, honestly. I'm giving it an 8. I really like the battle system, I gotta be honest. Yeah, I mean, for me, it just, I think the main things are, and it all depends on how you look at it. I'm sure you're probably going to be the opposite of this, but I like that the characters had definitive roles in battle, right? So you had, like, you know, your classic thief, black mage, white mage, etc., summoner. I like the 4-person team. And the one gripe that I would have is the trance system, but... Yeah, we can talk about that in a second.
Well, yes. And so that's a major gripe for me as well, the trance. I agree with you fully. Dude, I love the Final Fantasies that the characters are defined roles. You can't turn them into anything you want. I do love those too. I do love 12, for instance, and its variability. That's cool and all. But when you have those specific roles, it really makes you choose. You got to give something up and take something else. You know, I mean, that's what it is. And 9 had even something cooler where they had the dual combo with Steiner and Sword Art Magic, you know, Vivi and Steiner. Yeah. That was the coolest thing ever. So those kind of carried it for me. And also the four party member thing, that was kind of unique. You know, that was different. Or at least for the ones I've played. I've only played since 7. I think some of the older ones you got 4 also, so that's not different. But the main things for me, man, trance system, what the heck? Okay?
Yeah.
Look, I'm cool with, you know, like the whole thing of, you know, it uses actions and it's gone because it is pretty OP. I mean, let's be real, you know, especially with some of the characters like Zidane. But then you have characters like Amarant and Kena where it's like, cool, now I can eat them at 50% health rather than 25 because that's what I wanted the trance for, was to help me eat something. Yeah, it's like, and isn't it the best that when you get a trance after you have selected the use potion option?
So you
use a potion, it's like, well, there goes 2 of my 3 attacks, you know, whatever. That's, like, it's just, it's kind of finicky like that, and it's really stupid.
That's actually good. And I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, just, and I get that. I'm not trying to hold them out, you know, like in Final Fantasy X, for instance, I try to use my things. I don't like to hold on to them for a moment, you know, it kind of keeps it more organic, but when it's kind of cheap like that. Another thing, going back to the variability that we talked about, it's just too much, man. I don't know what these equations are. They clearly did not. They got someone who, like, completed 3rd grade for the equations, I guess. I don't know. But it's just like, come on, guys. You cannot have these stat ranges be like this because it either makes it just immensely difficult or way too easy, depending on what it hits.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, too, for me is the whole ATB gauge. I played with active, so maybe that was my problem. Maybe I should have played with weight, but I played it with active, and the system, we harped on back in the very beginning episodes, when we harped on 12 quite a bit. Dude, 9 I think is even worse. It gets bottlenecked like crazy. And for some of the bosses with really fast ATB gauges, by the time my character is done using fire, Vivi's using fire, like, the boss is going again. I'm like, well, what the heck, man? Like, I'm trying to queue things up, and it goes weird, you know, with it. And I know some of the bosses are just weird like that, but it really doesn't seem to kind of understand turns when it's on active.
No, I agree with you. That all that stuff has happened. It just has really weird, like, especially the bosses, they have strange mechanics behind their ATB system that it's like, and in that regard, it's like, I kind of understand your rating because it's really complicated. I mean, some of the bosses, like we kind of talked about Ozma getting double turns and Kuja gets double turns. Yeah. The ATB, sometimes they get like no charge and they can actually, you know, it'll give it a sort of like an ATB score that'll undercut your abilities. So there's all that kind of stuff, I agree. Also with like active, if you have the speed really high, your buffs don't last. They don't do anything because they don't last for more than two turns. But I mean, you know, I scored it highly just because in general, I thought it was a lot of fun while keeping challenge. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
While I agree with the trance being less useful, that you can't save it, it's also kind of nice that you can't abuse it, which you also did point out.
True.
Yeah, and then just the characters, and I think it's, you know, I think the variability can keep it kind of challenging for as much as I gripe about it. And just overall, I enjoyed, like, the battles. I enjoyed the abilities that they put into the game. I think there was a lot of ability variety, equipment variety, all of that kind of stuff.
Yes. No, I agree. I mean, that's the thing. It's not a one, right? I did like it. It was pretty good, but yeah, I don't know. I just those big gripes, especially compared to like some other just turn based, you know, games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I tried not to like just compare, but just thinking of it. All right, man. Our last category. This will be our 10th one, and I think it's the best one. It's the music. The music category. What'd you give it?
9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. I did 10 out of 10. I thought they just hit it out of the ballpark, man. I thought they did absolutely fantastic. And Same, of course, we talked about it all along the way through the series, you know, like, oh, well, yeah, this place has a great track. Oh, by the way, this area has fantastic track. Oh, yeah.
They
have you listened to this?
Did.
Yeah, because exactly. They always just did.
Yep. So what was some of your favorite tracks throughout the game? I mean, you know, we got character themes. We've got the battle themes.
Yeah.
I mean, themes for different locations.
Dude, it's so many different ones, right? I think, honestly, some of my favorite ones, how about just the regular, just a home screen song? Just the one, you know, when it just plays, when it starts off. It's just, it's, I don't know. I think for me, that one is just more nostalgia as well. You know, it's just like, oh, I remember, you know, moments and stuff with that. But that one's really good. I absolutely just loved Aguario. I mean, that one is just fantastic. It's just so calming and relaxing.
No, exactly. I agree with you. The home screen, too. Back in the day when I was like, you know, 12, 13 years old playing this game, that song always gave me this sort of was like really inspired you to play the game because it just sounded so adventurous and everything. And it would usually be playing with like that sort of intro video where it's showing you different... Yeah, of like different parts of the game. That always just, I would get so excited about like progressing the story to see some of those scenes while that song was playing. But yeah, I mean, some of my favorites, I think honestly my number one, and I just would have to say this, I know it's a popular one, but the Terra theme would be my number one. And then probably Esto Gaza and...
Via a la Flamenco. Or
Freya's theme.
Please. Also, Beatrix's Roses of May. You know, I really, of course, I've mentioned that multiple times. Yeah. See, that's the thing. I'm just remember them as we're talking around. It's like, oh, yeah, that one. Oh, yeah.
Because they're all good.
Ibsen's Castle was also a fantastic one, you know, and stuff. It's just, they really did an awesome, awesome job with the music. Because here's the thing. I you know, a lot of other Final Fantasies. I know the songs that I hate, absolutely. The prison in Final Fantasy VIII, being at home. Abdoi! Like, you have those that you hate. Nine, I can't think of any that I'm like, yeah, I really hate that song. I don't want to go there right now because I don't want to listen to that song. It's like, nah, dude. I'm like, heck, I want to go to most areas and listen to the songs.
Yeah, I think it... There's only a few songs that I don't like on Final Fantasy IX. I gotta be honest, the one that plays at Gargan Rue and Fossil Rue, hate that song. I just don't like that song. It's really, really annoying. So there's that. But you know, I mean, almost all of the character themes, like Steiner's theme. It just, you know, again, it was Nobuo Uematsu who composed all the music. So, of course, Final Fantasy Legend, everybody knows it. But yeah, he did just such a great job of capturing like the characters' quirks in the music, right? Like Steiner's theme sounds clumsy, sounds kind of, you know,
it does,
dumb in a way. And Vivi's is really like innocent and sort of joyful and things like that. So
yeah. And on that note too, if you guys haven't listened, Distant Worlds, it's he basically went through and redid all of his older Final Fantasy songs with like a big orchestra. And oh, dude, they are fantastic. Highly recommend looking it up on Spotify.
They're really
just Distant Worlds. Epic. Type it in. It'll come up instantly, pretty much. But all right, man. I think that's it. That's kind of crazy. We're done with Final Fantasy IX. Yeah. So, you know, we gave you all our ratings. Whether you agree or disagree, well, that's a great thing, right? We all have different experiences and thoughts about the games, and yeah, it's just fantastic game. Glad that we started our first, like, kind of first Final Fantasy series on Final Fantasy IX. It was fantastic, such a learning experience overall. And, you know, of course, next episode, everyone, as I'm sure you're really starting to rub your hands together waiting for it, is going to be Final Fantasy X. We know that anticipation is high. So we're definitely ready to hit the ground running with that one.
I'm so excited to start 10. It's my favorite game, and I have a feeling that you guys are going to love it too, based on the Instagram post, because every time we do a Final Fantasy X post, y'all go crazy over it.
It blows up, yes.
We're gonna have a good time with the next one. But yeah, that's Final Fantasy IX, and we could talk about this game probably forever. So seriously, this is just, you know, We had to keep it short.
Yes, absolutely. Spitballing. I mean, and again, that's what we started the podcast to begin with. It was just these conversations like we're having right now, you know. It's just, hey, maybe we should actually just do a podcast. Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, thank you everyone for listening and of course supporting us through 42 episodes. It's been such a fun time. We're almost approaching the full year mark of Final Fantasy IX. So hey, we finished it within a year, so that's great. Of course, you can go to our Instagram. As we just mentioned, you know, we kind of do posts of stuff. Of course, we're moving into Final Fantasy X posts, so be prepared to see nothing but Final Fantasy X for quite a long time. I know you're gonna really hate that. I know that, but sorry. You can also go to our website, finalstufffinalfantasytalks.com, and it is just you know, great place to see a lot of the content. We got some blog posts there and stuff, and so check it out, a little more info. And I think that will do it for us this time. I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.